like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 10, recorded on October 29th, 2023. How you doing today, Pirate?
I feel great, man.
Yeah, you feeling good?
Yeah,
well,
man.
We already started with a couple beers, so
I got a big homeless people version of the Coors Light right here.
Yeah, he's you know, because this is a podcast, you can't see. It's a big old 24-ounce can of Coors Light. Looks pretty nice, though, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful design they have on this can. Got the mountains in the background. Got the little blue symbol.
Yeah, well, that the blue symbol, too, is to let you know that the beer is still cold. So don't let it go. Don't let it go too warm like your cigars. You have a tendency to let. So people don't know this. Pyre and I like to smoke cigars. And I hate to use the word aficionado, but that seems to what it, how it goes. That's the term, at least. And man, you are lighting your cigars like five or six times during our conversations because your cherry keeps going out. And I was like, "Will you keep puffing on that thing? Come on!"
I know, poor old boy Alex. He's got to keep the lighter, the big old cigar lighter. He's got to keep the butane close by to refill constantly for me.
Right. Yeah. So this is show number 10. Can you believe I don't remember the last nine shows.
They're a blur, but they were fun. And we have moved to a benchmark.
And it is a benchmark. And what we're doing today, folks, is today's going to be an improv show. We do have items we are going to talk about. Pyre, I did do a show prep. However, you're not going to have too many transitions today, at least the chiming, because typically we'll talk about a subject matter and then I'll chime it so you know you're moving on. Today, in celebration of show number 10, and this was Pyre's idea, and I was all down for it, we says, you know what? Let's talk like we usually talk. And that's one of the main reasons behind this podcast, because you're a talker, I'm a talker, and it's just like so many times, even before we started doing the show, we were like, man, we should have done that in a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be hanging out on the back porch. We'll have a couple brews going, and we just get off on this subject, and it goes down a deep old rabbit hole.
Or any subject.
And then that rabbit hole kind of goes into another cavern somewhere.
Yeah, they're called tangents. We tangent off into another, you know, and I only learned a tangents because I do remember a little bit of geometry, but it was more Doc Brown from Friday the 13th, Back to the Future, where he drew the timeline and where things got messed up. And he said, somehow we tangent off in this alternative timeline. I'm like, tangent? Okay, that sounds like my conversations with Pirate.
Yeah, we're big tangent tangent makers, for sure.
We are tangent makers. We were tangent making during show prep. Yeah, because what I always do, because Pirate was like, hey, what do you want to talk about, Chewbacca? And I start talking about it, and then you put on your headphones, let's do sound check. And I'm like, wait a second, we didn't finish show prep.
I was just getting giddy.
You were, man. You're just like, boom, 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 boom. Well, there's no reason to rush, because truly today's format, folks, is going to be we are two buddies that are talking a little less formal today, and this is only for today. We'll get back to our normal formatting next week.
Structured format, yeah.
Because I am a structured guy, and so are you. You know,
I don't mind this open mic. I mean, I could probably do this like for a portion of the podcast. You know, we could even do something like that down the road.
And that's why I like to save that for the after show.
Yeah,
you know, I like to do the after show. I like to keep it very informal and whatever it comes up with. And we haven't even come up with an after show item, but I'm sure in today's show we will come up with something.
Yeah, we'll be talking and then we'll go, hey, that's what we should do in a few minutes.
Yeah, because I got a friend of mine, he does listen to the show, and he gets pissed off at me when there's not an after show. Like,
really?
Yeah, he's like, no after show, that's it, I'm not listening. And I'm like, well, the show was an hour and a half, man. What's the difference? But just something about after the song of the week, I think he likes the little improv section. And he said, don't get me wrong, he likes the formatting of the show. He likes the structure, but he also likes what we're going to do today. Today's practically going to be a big after show, you know? So whether we do an after show or not, I don't know. We haven't discussed. That was the only part of show prep we didn't talk about. Are we going to do an after show? I think this kind of show is going to be an after show.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just going to be just an all out, just talk a bunch of shit and go down rabbit holes and just go in every different tangent direction we can. And just put a little bit of technical skills out there for us and, you know, our
as we're evolving,
evolving and this little podcast. And
well, just like our equipment, we evolved, because I do remember on the technical end, the first few shows was kind of a technical challenge, man. The laptop was acting up, the microphones were acting up, the mixer was acting up. But with this Tascam thing here, I'm very, very happy with this machine here. I'm blown away. And then you got a new microphone, I got a new microphone. All we need is some headphones right now. I know you said your headphones are a little on the low end or cheap end, but I'm telling you, these I have here, these Sonys, I'm hearing you LC, man, Lima Charlie, loud and clear.
I have these Sonys, and the problem is they're using the smaller jack.
The adapter, that's right. You have the adapter, and that can actually lose sound quality when you're jumping like that.
A little bit too on your end, and it clips a little bit on the music.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're meant for this type of setup.
Yeah.
Where it goes into a quarter jack.
Well, interesting enough, on the producer side, because I have the board facing me. I mean, again, you can't see this because of podcast. My side has just the standard 3.5 millimeter hookup, where you need I think the quarter inch. You want the quarter inch directly, because as you see back here, these are the quarter inch jacks.
Adapter. I don't need no adapter. I need
Want no adapter. Yeah, you want straight headphone.
The cable needs to be quarter inch and go right into your Tascam, and I'll be good, and I won't have the clipping.
Right, right.
And it'll sound good.
Well, even with our microphones with the. With the XLR, I mean, that is still hands down the best quality sound you're going to be. Yeah, you could do USB and all that stuff. And this mixer, unfortunately, only does USB for the computer hookup. So that's not even an option for us. And that's fine, because I know XLR has been the de facto standard for many years when it comes to microphones.
XLR, I think, carries the
signal
spectrum a lot better than the USB. I mean, USB is state of the art, but I think it can just handle a little bit more volume and frequencies.
I think whereas, and don't quote me on this, I think whereas USB is digital, XLR is still analog, and there is a difference in quality where an analog is going to hear a lot of sounds. A digital does a little conversion process, and that's where things can start to degrade as far as quality.
This, where this Tascam editor console comes into play with the you know, volume and your
controlling
of and the microphones also compensate for some of that as well.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly.
These two microphones that we're using are strictly pretty much engineered for podcasting.
Yes, they are.
Or speaking or what have you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why the show is going to sound a lot better, hopefully.
Oh, I already hear the difference. Yeah. The last show and some of I did get some feedback. They're like, both of us, we are right on it.
And then you do a lot of the editing on the Mac, which is a better computer. So
yeah, I do all the post editing in the Mac, and even on the program's called GarageBand. Even in GarageBand, I tweak our sound just a little bit, not too much. I can make it sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks, but that'd be ridiculous. All I'm doing is I tweak it to make it sound a little more like kind of like radio guys, I guess. I remember when
MJ and BJ or the Schnitt Show.
Yeah, Schnitt Show.
They used to have the echo in the background.
Yeah, the reverb.
Yeah, they had the reverb.
Uh-huh. Did that bother you as a listener?
It bothered me, yeah, because I was like, why do they need that? Or are they just overcompensating because somebody's voice doesn't sound good, mm-hmm. so they're doing the reverb? Could be.
Okay. Yeah, well, I can put us in reverb, but it sounds stupid. We'd sound like some 70s disco show.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That. It'd be like, hey, you know.
I think if you just, you know, take the equalizer and just, you know, just bring a mid equalizer where we're just equalized in the middle. Not too high, not too low.
Yeah. We already do it because I got compression turned on. So the compression gets rid of anything that's too high, gets anything too low, and it keeps you right in the middle spectrum of the equalizer to just
kind of a flat.
Well, not so much flat. What it does is it just makes things sound more even, because as we get excited, or you pull away from the microphone a little bit, as you just heard right there.
Yeah, I just heard that.
The compressor tries to make up for that, because what happens there is I just had a drop off. So it'll automatically, and this is all through software, will try to boost up the signal just a little bit. Or if we're too high, and I know you say you hear the clipping and everything, guess what? In post, there's no clipping.
No, the clipping is my cheap and low end Sony headphones. These are probably built for like hooking up to your phone or
gaming or something.
Or a Sony Walkman or something like that.
Sony Walkman. Wow, man, you're going back to the 80s here. Holy crap. Sony
Walkman. Still have one, you know.
Yeah, some people still do. You know, everyone's on their phone now, but you know.
Or you can listen on your laptop with
Yeah. But so yeah, like I said, so today's show is going to be like an improv thing. And before we actually start getting into subjects, discussions, even what we just talked about here was improv. We didn't plan on talking about 5 or 6 minutes of podcast equipment and material. But you know, I'm happy to do this show. You know, I'm excited to do this show. I'm glad that we've invested a little bit of money into this, because we're certainly putting in the time. But everything seems to me to be going just a little more smoother now, because we just put a couple bucks into this. And before, I thought, this is the way podcasts are supposed to sound, until I started hearing other podcasts. And I'm like, man, there's something a little off. And then, like you said, with that old mixer I had, I looked it up, and it's pretty much was a cheapo kind, and it got slammed in the reviews. And that thing was 10 years old. It got slammed 10 years ago. They even stopped making that. So it's but I didn't know, when I got into podcasting before, I had no idea. Cause to me, it sounded good on the Mac, cause I strictly recorded everything on the Mac before.
Yeah. This one is great. I like what we have here for now.
Yeah, no. And it's great, because we're not dealing with a computer right now. This is truly a mixing board for sound. We're not loading programs and rebooting and, this, that, and the other thing. It's just worked.
I love it, man. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you ready to go to the next subject?
Yeah. Yeah. And let me just do the promo real quick. Just remember, this show is on AcabonaRadio.com, www.AcabonaRadio.com. You can find us on X. Just look for @AcabonaRadio. And we are on Facebook as pirate says, Facebook as I say. I'll use the normal term. Hey, how about if you want to be really bougie and say Meta?
No, I'm not going to say that. Because
you don't want to Meta it.
No, it's Facebook and
Facebook. Yeah, and well, we're on Facebook.
Twitter just is X.
Yeah, well, Twitter is X, or vice versa. Twitter,
yeah,
because it still says Twitter.com, but the application is called X. Kind of like we're on the Akebono Radio Network, but this show is all over the road with Pirate and Chewbacca.
And then Instagram, whatever the hell it is.
No, we're not on that.
No, how about Chit Chat, Snapchat?
Snapchat, we're not on that.
No, we're not on that either.
No, I see no reason to be on those.
People on all that shit still?
Yes, they are. But Instagram has its place, and Instagram is for pictures. Mm-hmm. And as you well know, with the bikini pictures I share with you, most of my bikini models come from Instagram.
Well, I guess we could, if we wanted, we could do a Instagram like picture of us here at the podcast studio here at Akebono Studios, and then you could shoot it out there and say, hey, we're recording a show now.
Yeah, well, I can do that on Facebook too.
You could.
Yeah, but you know what I think about, because this is still supposed to be a hobby for us and be fun. If it starts turning into too much work, because that's what it is, because it's another thing I'd have to post.
Yeah.
And yes, I can link it up, but it's just another step in process.
Is that a lot of work?
Well, you haven't seen the post editing side of things, because I do edit the show.
Oh, I know about editing.
Yeah, I do edit the show, and then I put together editing show notes, and then I have to get it uploaded to the website, and then I have to do a little bit of editing and tweaking on there, and then once that's satisfied, then I go into X, then I go into Facebook. I do have a small email distribution, so that's the other thing I didn't point out. If you want to send us an email, akebonoradio@gmail.com. If you want to be on the distribution list, or if you have any comments, suggestions, feedback. So I'm already going to doing 4 or 5 things, just getting the show out there. So and your question is valid. Don't get me wrong. Well, why don't we put it on Instagram? you know, it's really for pictures, and that's another thing I'm going to have to do. And I'm like,
I mean, I guess if you wanted to get a few more people to listen that are not just our friends or something.
Yeah, yeah. And well, what I can probably do, and I'll look into it, I'll see if I can link the Facebook page to Instagram. And then what can happen is that they can be linked together. So when I do post to Facebook, it'll automatically put it on Instagram. So maybe, you know, it's saving a step. You
sure,
know?
That would work as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
I mean, just putting it out there, to get a few more listeners that are just a little bit beyond our circle of friends here.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, we're all over the road, and the main website is to where to download the show. You can't get it anywhere else because I don't put it on Apple Music. I don't put it on any of this other commercial stuff. I mean, yeah, Facebook is commercial, but, you know, that doesn't get, I don't know. Again, it's another step. Even if I was going to put it on the podcast or Apple Podcasts, another step. Plus, we do use copyright music here. I don't feel like getting flagged because this is a hobbyist show, but Apple won't care. They'll be like, you still need a license to play this on our website.
Yeah, if we ever had to go there or wanted to go there.
Yeah, we'd have to get a license, and I don't want to do that.
Or we just have to make our own.
Well, we couldn't use the commercial music.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and really, the opening song, is it important? Yes, but hell, we could always even just kind of make our own music.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you could get a guitar. Well, get a keyboard. We could record.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about all that because it's been a while since I played music. No, there's other options.
Well, you like the karaoke?
No, we can actually use something that's called royalty free music. So it's music that's already pre made, and then I can put it out there without any licensing whatsoever. Sure, you know, but as you have commented a couple times in the YouTube videos, man, this is kind of vanilla music. Well, that's the whole reason it's vanilla music. I would love to play Guns N' Roses Welcome to the Jungle on our YouTube videos, you know, for our parties and stuff, but we'll probably get flagged. But I've been playing around with a little bit. The last YouTube I updated, uploaded the West Virginia trip. I put a lot of commercial music in there, and though it got flagged, it told me that this video will not play in Russia for some reason, and I think that has something to do with the sanctions. So I was like, well, I don't care. Oh, and it told me, you will not get monetized for this show. Well, I'm not doing YouTube to try to make money. I'm not trying to be a YouTuber. I have a YouTube account. I upload content to my account, but I'm not trying to, become a Patreon supporter and you'll get access to the video 2 days early. Ooh, so what? It's kind of like this commercial I saw the other day about banking. Like, well, if you join this club, you can get your paycheck 2 weeks earlier. And of course, the club is not free. And I started laughing. I said, so instead of Friday being your 2 week paycheck, you just turned it into Wednesday. What's the freaking difference if you get it 2 days earlier?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out as well. Like, I guess if you're that short on money and you need a six pack of beer that quick, I mean, that's.
But you understand my point, right? If you're going to move your normal Friday payday to Wednesday and it becomes. Because with the club, you'll get paid every Wednesday. So basically, you're going to get paid every 2 weeks on Wednesday. What's the point? I can see it first. So maybe when you first sign up, like, oh, man, payday until Friday. I'd like to get a six-pack. I'm low on money. Okay, you sign up. But you're paying for that.
Yeah.
Okay, but.
Instead of paying $8 for the six-pack, now you're paying the bank the extra fee.
Well, you're paying the extra fee to get your paycheck 2 days early.
Yeah.
So the first time you apply it, I can see like, okay, now I just got paid on Wednesday. But after that, you're staying in the club. You start getting paid every Wednesday, every 2 weeks. So there's no more advantage anymore. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand. There's people that just, I guess they just don't know how to budget themselves and keep their money in their pocket. And
look, we all go a little hard times and I get all that, but I'm just trying to figure out the advantage of some of these programs we put out there.
Yeah. So, you know. Anything else about the technical end of this?
No. I think that's it. Like I said to our listeners out there, let us know how we sound and, you know, we can start getting into, some of the things we're just going to talk about today. So I'll kick it off here. Anheuser-Busch says they're going to sponsor the UFC.
This is another Bud Light update.
It is.
Another Bud Light update.
Here we go. Here.
Yeah. Right, the new update.
Yes, yes. Well, and this time it's controversy in, I think, a petty way, because they said they're going to use Bud Light as, so even though it's Anheuser-Busch, they're going to still have Bud Light advertisement all around the Octagon and the commercials and everything. And guess what? The fans of UFC are not too happy about that. No. And I understand why, because of the whole Dylan Mulvaney debacle. However, Anheuser-Busch did fire that marketing chick. They did fire Dylan Mulvaney, even though they Shim. I don't know what to call these people. No, and I'm not trying to be a dick here, but Shim, because that's what Dylan Mulvaney is. Kind of
she-him.
A she-him, because Dylan is still biologically a man, but identifies as a woman. So we'll go with Shim. Says that they weren't, you know, he, she, Shim was not formally let go either, just told that we're moving on in a different direction or anything. They never used the term, you're fired. So, I mean, don't you think in a way that this is Anheuser-Busch trying to save face by getting into what's considered a very masculine sport as mixed martial arts with the UFC?
Yeah, I think they're thinking correctly. I mean, that's their core drinkers.
Right. Well, they're trying to get back on the right track.
They're getting on the right track for sure, I think.
But people are still sore about what they pulled a few months ago.
Yeah, just you know, stick with, you know, sports. And it doesn't even have to be sports all the time with drinking beer, because, you know, I like sports, but sometimes I'm like, whoop-de-doo, you know. I just like to have a good time with friends.
Right.
And enjoy a beer, a beverage.
But here's the thing.
And that's what they should look at, too.
Well, here's the thing, though. They said Anheuser-Busch. So why, out of all your brands, did you pick Bud Light, knowing that it's a little controversial? Why didn't you just go with Bud Heavy?
Right.
You know, they could put Bud Heavy all over the, and people wouldn't blink an eye. Heck, I had a Bud Heavy last night.
Well,
you know, I'm going to cancel Anheuser-Busch. No, first of all, I don't care for Bud Light.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just pick Mick Ultra? Because we all know about Mick Ultra.
And these guys are supposed to be athletes and everything, right? And arguably, it's one of the more healthy beers out there, because it's low calorie, low alcohol, low carb.
Yeah.
You know, heck, when I did the keto diet years ago, I lost a lot of weight. Guess what? I strict drinking.
And if they wanted to support
strict drinking,
this Mulvaney guy and all that, say, well, Mick Ultra is going to support him and his, you know, his endeavors. And then no one would have had a hard-on about it, because everyone would have said, well, I don't even drink Mick Ultra anyways.
Right. How I felt about Bud Light.
Yeah.
You know, the exception of Bud Light Lime, but that only,
I mean, I
happens at the golf course.
For a while. I've drank Mick Light Ultra with the Mick Cactus. Ultra.
The Cactus. I like that one.
Yeah. I mean, that's about as.
I think that's a good golfing beer.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, last time we golfed,
refreshing beverage.
Yeah, that's what I had in the bag last time.
Schaffenhofer.
Yeah. Well, not as sweet, though. It still tastes like.
Got a little lime in it, a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's still, it still tastes like beer. No, I like the Mick Cactus a lot. You know, matter of fact, that I have that on my grocery list after I'm done with Oktoberfest. I'm going to do the Mick Ultra Cactus, you know, stuff. But
it's a good beer. And you know, why didn't they pick that beer?
And that's the thing. They had so many different brands. They could have went with Busch.
How about the other one that they have? I think it's Bud Select 55 calories.
There you go. There. Wow, I forgot about that. That's the Budweiser side, because Mick Ultra is Michelob, even though it's under the same umbrella. But they are different beers. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Why didn't they go with the Bud Select? Because that's a low-cal.
Kind of fits the, oh, I'm transvestite. I don't want to get a lot of calories because I'm trying to keep my figure, right?
Well, that's why these people are drinking all these seltzer beers, which I really don't like.
No, I don't like them either. Why didn't they take Bud Seltzer? Because they make seltzer.
Yeah, they do.
Why didn't they promote that?
Yeah.
See, they're missing the whole boat.
Well, if they're wanting to promote masculinity, you know what it is? You have to massage people back into things. What they thought, well, because Dylan Mulvaney controversy was so much with the trans person, that they went from that to
boom, let's go to the UFC. And it's just like, no, you got to kind of kiss a little butt and get back into it. So these guys who were upset about the Dylan Mulvaney issue were like, well, screw UFC then.
Yeah, yeah. People are going to start ditching UFC.
Yeah, well, they might get canceled.
Yeah, I mean, I see, you know, the last story I spoke about in the last podcast was the fact that the Bud Light was going to help out with Folds of Honor.
Yes, and that was cool.
NFL was going to join them in it.
And that's something that everybody could get behind, because who's going to be against that?
Yeah, and then the representative from the UFC, what's his name, Dana?
Yeah, he's the president, CEO, yeah. Dana something. I don't know.
Dana Howard or something like that. I don't know what his name is. Anyways, that guy, he says, so what? If I recognize the fact that Bud Light is working with Folds of Honor for years, giving away millions of dollars, why can't they support, the UFC? And I want to say there was another organization that was involved that they were moving some of the extra sponsorship to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I want to say there was a children's organization or something.
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, I don't have a problem with Bud Light sponsoring UFC. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me either. It's just I can sympathize why some of the fans would be like, how'd you go from being a trans beer?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to take some time for them.
And that's what it is. They went from a beer that had no political backing behind it, Bud Light. It turned into a political backing, and then people argue, well, because you only made it political. I was like, well, you're making it political too by putting a person who's a trans person. And I don't care if you're trans. I really don't. You do what you want with your body, but you are picking a group of people who are less than a percent of the people and promoting them. And then expecting people just to take off with that. And I don't have a problem with the less of the percent of the percent, but if you're going to talk this representation crap, You're picking the lowest denominator, and then when your sales got hurt by it, it was just like, oh my God, you guys are a bunch of haters. And it's like, it's not about hating. You insulted your fan base. You know, I mean, it just, there's so many better avenues they could have gone with, and they didn't, just like what we talked about. They could have picked maybe a different beer, but then maybe those sales would have got hit. I mean, look at the reaction. I didn't care either.
The loss of
the revenue.
Revenue that Bud Light took and that they took as a company was just...
Oh, it was billions of dollars.
Billions. And it was just... It could have been avoided by saying, well, Bud Select 55 or Mick Ultra doesn't... You know, they're not our main brand. So even if we take a small hit...
I was thinking maybe they would get
counter set, you know?
You think so? See, I think they would have got slammed, though, too. I don't think it would really matter. But you're right, because I'm...
Well, let's look at the demographics of who drinks Bud Light.
Most people.
Yeah. It's
whereas you don't see most people drinking Bud 55.
Yeah.
Or Mick Ultra. Yeah.
So that's
why you're right. That would have been a better idea.
Two beers would have made it.
So if that brand suffered a little bit, then it wouldn't have been nearly as bad as Bud Light.
Yeah, that's what I and see, that's the problem with that girl who was or lady, whatever the hell she is, that got that.
She was a real lady.
The promotional.
She identified as a real lady. Okay, and she was a real lady. Okay. Yeah.
And she was
a
promotional marketer. And you know what? Obviously, she was hired not for her skills, because obviously she sucks.
She ended up becoming an activist and then screwing the company over.
So that's exactly what she is.
I don't care what you say. These companies are here to make money. And guess what? They lost billions of dollars because of her, you know, her activism. And it's like, you're not supposed to be an activist, at least not a beer company,
no.
Especially not an Americana beer company, no. Or former Americana.
Well, it is an Americana company, or was at one point. We wish that one day it would return to an Americana.
Right. And you're right. And the thing with the whole Americana thing, it's just like, why would you take a brand and turn it political? And that's what she did. And she knew what she was doing. She admitted to it.
Why would you even, why would you even turn a brand like that to a non-American brand, which is Belgian company owned now? And then why would you start to go in the, well, I mean, we're asking these, why would you look at that other part of the whole part of the United States? Everything that we can talk about, we can ask this question. Why is things doing this right now? Why are they doing this? Why, you know, Why are we in this direction? It's because people are now starting to put these minority questions and these minority
fringe like groups, whatever
groups, these all these topics into the forefront and try to bring them into the center stage so everybody can say, look at what's going on, when it's not all about.
You know what I see it as? Everybody thinks they're special.
Exactly.
You, me, a corporation, big, small, whatever. Sorry, nobody's really special. You know who's special to me? Animals and pets, because that's what I take dear to heart. Those to me are the protected class. You don't mess. You don't talk about somebody's kids.
Yeah.
You don't insult somebody's kids, and you certainly don't abuse animals. And I'm a meat eater. It's not about me being a tree hugger. But if I saw my neighbor beating his dog, I would say something, you know, and sure. It would probably turn violent, since they decided to go violent on what, you know, a 30, 40 pound animal. Well, guess what? I'm going to go violent as a 250 pound man. You know, that's my personal values. That's not, I expect other people to be like that, but it's almost my warning system to the people around me. Leave the kids out of it. The kids are a protected class. Yeah, they act like dumb shits, everything, but we were there at one time too. And let kids be innocent and discover things on their own. Don't be putting this crap in their brains.
Well, the whole thing is they're a beer manufacturer.
Yeah, they're a beer manufacturer. How'd it turn into this? That's what's so damn stupid.
What if the best drywall screw manufacturer started talking shit?
Right. You'd be like,
I'm not buying your drywall screws anymore. Same thing would happen.
Yeah, you're like, where did this come from?
Yeah. I'm glad they're starting to recognize, let's go back to the different direction. Yeah, they can focus on giving their money to charitable organizations that are good organizations. They can focus on, you know, UFC fighting, foosball, baseball. You know, they even, you know, sponsor some music concerts like they used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sponsor the football, Super Bowl, you know, sponsor NASCAR.
And the funny thing is like, we get out about often and we're at the concert last night and we'll talk about that later or whatever. But, you know, like back in the day, I'd see people walking around with Bud Light cans.
Nah, they're done.
I didn't notice at all. They sold it there.
Yeah.
They had it there. They had the Yingling. They had
craft beer has taken over too.
Yeah, but there was any craft beer out there. That was all the standard domestic stuff.
Some IPAs out there and Shock Top.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily IPA. And Shock.
Well, there was a green one that said, I think that was High Lie maybe.
That's high. Okay, that's a craft beer. Yes. But Shock Top is Anheuser-Busch, man. It's another brand. You're right. The only craft beer that was out there. IPA doesn't necessarily mean craft beer. The fact that it was Cigar City Brewing Company, yes, that's craft beer. But out of all those cans that were up there, that was only the rest of it. It was Coors Light, it was Yingling, it was Bud, it was Bud Heavy. You know, of course,
those are all of people's favorite beers.
Yeah. Yeah. Miller Lite. There was a Miller Lite out there.
Those other companies are out there promoting what Bud Light was promoting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They just sold beer, right?
So read the room. Read the room, right?
Read the room.
On this day in history. So on this day in history, October 29th, the 1929 year.
Oh, that's today.
Yes, sir.
That's cool.
The stock market crashed, Black Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this was the day that Wall Street had investors and they had it traded 16,410,030 shares.
Mm-hmm.
New York Stock Exchange in single day. That was the largest amount of shares traded. And so like billions of dollars were lost because they were, withdrawing funds. Yeah. And
what was the year on this? Wasn't this early
1929.
1929?
Yes.
Oh, so this is the crash that led up to the Depression. Okay, yes. Because I know there was another crash in the 80s. That's why I wanted to clarify.
1929, October 29th, 1929.
So almost
Black 100. Tuesday. Is okay, what
so almost
it.
100 years ago.
Yes.
Wow.
And it wiped out thousands of investors. And, of course, the aftermath of Black Tuesday, America and the rest of the industrialized world had spiraled into what was known as the Great Depression.
The Great Depression. Wow.
Which, you know, my grandparents, maybe your grandparents, they all had lived through that and dealt with that.
Yep. They were born in that era, actually. Yeah. So they basically grew up poor.
My grandparents were in Arkansas at that time and, you know, farmers.
In Arkansas.
Arkansas,
yeah. You know, since you have your own way of saying things and, you know, I didn't come up with that, but to me it makes more sense.
No, that's what they would call it, Arkansas.
Well, I heard some native people used to call it that and then just evolved into what it is. I might be full of shit. I don't know.
My grandpa used to go to Missouri a lot.
And you know what? I call it Missouri because I've heard that.
That's what he'd say. Yeah, I'd go to Missouri.
Yeah, but look at Arkansas. Look at Arkansas. It really is just Kansas with AR in front of it.
Yeah, and they would go
which doesn't stand for assault rifle, by the way.
No.
It stands for pirate Arkansas. I just made that up, too.
They were farmers in those days, and they were dealing with some hard times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
American farm was really dying at that time.
Yeah.
It was hard to keep a farm. It was hard to keep work. I mean, people struggled. People died. There was a lot of suffering. And of course, there was businesses that were corrupt during those times.
Corrupt, all kind of soup lines. People taking any kind of work they can. I seen the pictures. People who used to live in homes and apartments who were literally living in shacks off the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. I mean, that must have been. I mean, I heard the numbers, but I guess for 100 years ago, those numbers probably meant even more because.
Sure.
I know in the 80s sometime, and again, we're all over the road, but I know there was a big, not crash, but a huge Black Monday sometime in the 80s where, again, a number of shares were sold off or the value dipped, and they actually shut down the stock market for a day or two just to get people to calm down and not panic. And it did somewhat recover, and everything's good. We didn't slip into a depression.
We were lucky. We were lucky.
Yeah.
The 80s were a rough time too, as well.
Luckily, as kids, we didn't worry about that too much. I know in the 80s, economically, the only thing I worried about was having a few dollars to go to Chuck E. Cheese and play some arcades.
Yeah. I mean, it. In the
80s, I know our parents suffered.
We didn't know any better.
Suffered.
Because we thought that this is how you're supposed to live. I mean, we didn't have the luxuries that you have nowadays.
But the thing is, too, is like I grew up poor, but I didn't never feel like I was poor because we still had the basics. We had a house. We had 3 squares a day. I had a bicycle. I had toys. And people were like, well, that's not really poor. I said, if you saw what my mom budgeted to put together, and I only discovered this when my dad passed because he kept everything, right? That's what our parents' generation do. I was going through the bank records, and I wasn't trying to be Snoopy. I was just trying to be what is this? And I check it out and I see his direct deposit and it was like $800. And then I called my mom up and I'm like, hey, Ma, I wasn't trying to snoop here, but how the heck did you pay bills? And she goes, we literally lived check to check. I struggled so much. I clipped coupons. She's like, why do you think we went to MacDill Air Force Base once a month to do a commissary run? Cause it was tax free. You know, she, my mom was very good at saving money. Too bad that didn't pass down to me, but, I'm tangenting it off. Today's a tangent show. You got another one on.
Yeah, I got another one.
Today in history.
October 29th, 1998, at the age of 77, John Glenn was the oldest human to travel in space on the space shuttle Discovery.
Awesome. And I watched that launch live, and I don't mean TV. I saw the shuttle go up, not there, but remember back in the day with the space shuttle, because it was so big, I was working in one of the high rises in downtown Tampa and our office had a perfectly east view. And so we had the TV on the side and you see the shuttle going up.
Well, I got a story then like that too, because that same day, this was when Gator Ford was on US 301.
I do remember that back in the day.
And they had a, that area there by Harney Road and all that, that area has a little bit of hills.
Yes, I was just about to mention that, the hills.
Yes.
Yeah, I always kind of noticed that.
Yes, so I had a pickup at Gate or Ford. They used to ship out engines and, you know, stuff to get sent out.
Now, engines, you mean like motor engines, right?
Motors to vehicles, yes.
Not Indians.
Oh, yeah, you're confused. When you say engine, it's... Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you weren't like human smuggling here, because I was like... Engines.
No, I
was like, what kind of, hey, dear pirate, what kind of engines do you got there in the back truck? Because I need a Sioux and a Seminole.
Well, I got a couple Seminoles, and they have a couple bows and arrows for you in there. So better watch out when you open up the door. They ain't too happy in there.
Okay, so about your story. Okay, engines. Okay, just want to make sure, man.
So when I was there, I knew that the liftoff was fixing to happen. So mm-hmm. I said, mm-hmm. man, I want to time it right so I can be in the truck to listen to it and be looking out my front windshield and watch it from that hill. But at the time, a couple of the guys that were working in their shop, they all came out. Some of the salesmen, could we stand on the back of your truck?
To watch the launch.
Yeah, they all stood in the back of the truck and we could look up over the tree line.
Mm-hmm.
And man, next thing we knew, we heard liftoff and we seen the flame, you know, the big red flame coming up.
Yeah.
And it was just, when the space shuttle went up, it was a lot of flame.
Yeah. Because it had solid rocket boosters. It had three main engines on the shuttle itself. Those are those three
more
big nozzles.
More than these Dragon rockets have.
I think so. Less, actually.
You think? I thought it was more.
Well, no, and it's not the it's actually called the Falcon. The Dragon is the capsule on the top.
The ones that SpaceX sends up.
Yeah, it's called the Falcon 9. The reason why it's called the Falcon 9, it has 9 engines on it.
Yeah, but I just thought...
The nozzles aren't as big.
The space shuttle just had a lot more smoke and flame.
Yeah, well, those were a 1970s technology. They're actually called the RS-25s.
Yeah,
They were the main...
You are a walking Britannica today.
You hit a subject I love, and we haven't even got into the story yet. We're tangenting it off. But no, that's okay. I want to talk about this. Yeah. Those are the RS-25 engines. They were the main shuttle engines, and they were capable of throttle up, throttle down, because the pilot, the astronaut, who is a pilot, literally flew the thing, had control. Now, there was a lot of automation, but it had controls over... where it was going and the throttle, and then the solid things you saw on the right are called the solid rocket boosters. And it was a solid, and exactly what it was a solid fuel. And here's the thing with it. Once they turn those things on, there's no way to shut them off. And the only way, if they invent that there was a problem, they can jettison them like they do anyways when they take off.
Kind of blow out.
Yeah. Yeah. And because the shuttle continues up into space with the orange tank on it, because the orange tank is the fuel for the main three RS-25 engines. Fast forward to now, those RS-25 engines are the main engines on the new SLS, a space launch system for the new Artemis program that just started. And then the first launch was almost a year ago,
yes.
November, December timeframe, Artemis 1.
I remember that.
And it was the big test mission. It was a successful mission. It actually orbited around the moon a few times, came back, recovered the capsule, and had all kind of telemetry and data on it. And here's the funny part. Afterwards, they go to the launch site to do assessment on the tower, because the tower was brand new. This damn thing was so powerful, it blew the elevator doors indoors that in the future will take the astronauts to the top to get into the castle. Or not the castle, the capsule.
Yeah, the castle over
the
there.
The castle, yeah. See, engines, castle. But yeah, so they have to do different fire suppression systems. They throw a lot of water at it. They're going to have to hit it with a couple more different angles or whatever. So it was a big test launch, and lessons learned from Artemis. So anyways, get back to the John Glenn. Here. So they stood on the truck and they're like, hey, can we take a look at it?
They all took a look at it, and everybody was just thankful they could get up and see above the tree line, because from there, dealership, they couldn't see too well.
Right.
And I had backed the truck strategically right in the highest
point. On top of the hill.
On top of the hill. And everybody jumped in the back. You know, I helped some people up there. We stood on pallets and all. And it was pretty badass.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You're going to see the oldest man, 77 years old, John Glenn.
And a legend in himself. He was one of our first astronauts.
Yeah. And he was
part of Mercury 7.
And he went from Los Angeles to New York in a supersonic airplane in like 3 hours.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact aircraft. I think it was like an A7 Corsair. Don't quote me on that. But it's basically a single engine plane with a big intake on it and a hell of a fast plane.
Dude, that had to have been hauling ass, man.
Well, the funny thing is once you're up there so high, unless a cloud passes you, everything seems kind of just normal up there. I mean, you've been on airplanes. You see out in the horizon and everything. Everything looks like it's moving nice and slow.
Oh, you're going 400 or 500 miles an hour.
About 550 yeah. miles an hour yeah. is what an airline travels at.
Yeah, that's hauling ass.
Oh, you're hauling ass. Yeah. You don't realize it. Well, you don't realize it. You know what helps for perspective, as much as I love aircraft, is a few times I actually saw the shadow of my airplane on the ground.
Oh.
And a couple times we were going by an interstate. And you know how you look down, it looks like the cars are moving so slow. And you see the shadow just going past these cars. And I imagine to myself, imagine if I was in a car going at this speed, they would be like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, 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 you know, air travel. You know, you get everything fast, get there faster. So what else with John Glenn? See, we can keep talking about John.
That's kind of all we could go into crazy depth, but not today. So another thing that happened today in history was China announced the end of their one-child policy after 35 years.
So they had that place in 30. So a generation and a half of telling that you only can have one kid.
Yeah.
And you know what the travesty of that was? Is that... because they were having a population problem.
They were.
Most girls got put up for adoption because China has a very strong family culture as well and lineage. And they take it like, you know, some people over here traditionally, you know, like how, you know, the woman takes on the man's last name, blah, blah, blah. Well, they were getting rid of their daughters because they don't see their daughter as carrying on the lineage. They see the son.
Sure.
So many Chinese children that were girls got put up for adoption and are living here in the States now. So I'm glad they found a home. But you got at the same time, those are the lucky ones. I bet you a lot of, you know, probably girls to this day went through a lot of suffering, got abandoned by their parents because they were not a boy. They were a girl.
But we don't even know some of the stories.
We don't know.
We don't know. Maybe. Yeah. 20 years from now, 30 years from now, there might be some movies about.
Well, maybe it'll speak out more because I don't know this lady's name. I just recently discovered her. She's from North Korea. She defected.
Sure.
All she does. And she's probably in her, if I had to guess, late 30s, early 40s, really pretty, too. She talks about all the atrocities that happened in North Korea when she lived there. And what scares her, she sees things happening here. Media
like that,
media though. Suppression or media backing one party pretty much consistently.
Planting all the stories to be all
that's what I mean. That's what I mean. The manipulation, the spin, you know, the cancel culture, the accept the minority of the minority
the minimal minorities.
And again, it's not about right. It's not about to me, it's not about not accepting. I'm cool with everybody, man. If you're not an asshole to me, I'm not an asshole to you. But as soon as you think you're special or you start playing victim, go fuck yourself.
Right.
You know, seriously. I mean, are you handicapped? You got a mental thing going on here? Again, that was the other protected class I talked about earlier. I think that's my personal beliefs. Those people should be left alone, along with children, pets, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Those people truly are the special one. They are special because you know what? They're never going to get, even though they might live a full, good life, they're still going to struggle with things. And some of them don't think they're struggling, but think about somebody who, you know, we don't even have to talk mentally. We'll talk about physically. What about the soldier that lost their legs or lost both legs, but they're still alive and have to deal with the daily struggles of getting around now? Because even with prosthetics and wheelchairs and all that stuff, it's definitely helpful. However, it's still a struggle for that person, man.
Yeah.
You know, when they sit around and think about it, like, this sucks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some people are born that way. Some people are put in that position through an accident or a medical event or some birth defect or what have you. So, you know, it, you know, it, it makes sense to help those folks, you know, because they didn't choose that
path. So anyways, with your day in history, anything else with John Glenn?
No, we're done with John Glenn. We're done with the stock market.
I can talk about John Glenn a little more.
No, let's not go down. We got other stuff to talk about. We have important things to kind of push.
Yeah, out. No, you know,
we can talk about John Glenn another day. I mean, unless you really want to get it out.
But. No, that's okay. I mean, well, we are improvising here. But if you're not feeling it, I'm not going to force you.
Talk about the important thing that happened last night.
The concert at the Sound. So we're going to talk about the show here, but let me back up just a little bit because we did something else you and I are passionate about. So by the way, but just to tease you, we went to the George Thorogood and the Destroyers and Sammy Hagar and the Circle concert at the Sound in Clearwater, which used to be former. I think it's still called Coachman's Park, the area.
Coachman's.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
but
don't forget. Okay. Damon Fowler from Brandon, Florida.
I'm glad you remember that because I forgot his name. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, we had a blues singer as well. But we'll put that on pause for a second.
All right, pause.
The pause is
the people pause.
The people pause.
Okay.
What we did prior to that was a plan you and I talked about not too long, actually, because we talk about a lot of stuff and we never get around
to
it.
Begin with an O and end with a G.
Yeah, might involve some boobies. Me and Pirate and my buddy, since we don't drop names here, we went to the OG, the original gangster Hooters in Clearwater.
Yes.
Was that fun or what?
Yeah, man, I think I had been one long, long time ago with some buddies, but that was a long time.
And back. it had been at least
looking different now.
It is, and we'll talk about that here in a second with the museum and everything.
Like an upgrade to the place.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It'd been at least 15 years since I'd been there.
Probably same for me, bud.
Yeah. Like so mid. So that's why I missed the first turn. Luckily, there was two turns. I missed the first turn because I didn't recognize the building at first. So. That's what we'll talk about here is they did upgrade the building. I think structurally, probably inside, some things are still the same from the outside. It's not the same at all. So what can I say about the food other than it was consistent and delicious and we had time to kill because we wanted to beat traffic. We didn't know what parking was like. So we spent a couple hours there. And what did you think of our server? Don't say her name, though.
She was a nice young laddie.
Down to earth. I love the girl next door thing. Not about the big Hooters because she didn't have any. She just had a nice slender body, but she was so nice.
She was nice. I mean, that's about it. I mean, nothing really stuck out.
But to me, it didn't come off as fake nice because you and I have been to Hooters a bunch of times, and we've had a couple servers where we know they are just kissing ass. For the sake of kissing ass, they're not being genuine. Whereas with her, I felt like I was having a conversation with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was nice that she was pleasant with us. She was quick at her job. I know that was the end of her shift, so maybe that had a lot to do with it.
Well, but, and she was honest with us about it.
She was.
So we wanted to make sure we cashed out with her and she got the tip. Well, what I liked about her is that she, like I said, she had this girls next door look and she really looked like a girl out of the 1970s. She can throw on some 1970s garb right out of that 70s show, which I love that show, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with the 70s.
You weren't a big fan? I loved it. It's one of my favorite shows. Well, not top favorite show.
But. I never watched the show, but I'm not a big fan of the 70s anyways.
And you know what? Neither was I because I was such a little... I mean, you're only a year older than me. I was such a little kid, so my memory of the 70s is very scarce because I'm an 80s kid through and through. But I appreciated Big Bang Theory, that 70s show because...
Well, I remember.
They did a good job in that show of... The culture, the feel, the look, the sets, the houses, their clothes, everything was truly 70s, man. I was like, this is cool.
Let me restate it. I remember growing up a little bit in the 70s, of course. You know, I remember going to kindergarten wearing like some goofy corduroy clothes, and right. Butterfly collar and all that. And right. I remember, you know, my hair being long as hell because nobody got a haircut back in those days.
I couldn't. Military family.
Well,
Dad always kept their hair short.
My family's were
not my mom, not my sister, but you know,
a lot of my family was different. You know, we weren't military or anything, except for my grandpa. But you know, it just it was different. People were into rock and roll and partying, and it was.
A lot of weed, a lot of drugs. That I mean, I know weed is drugs, yeah. But there was a lot more drug use going on.
I remember seeing that around a little bit, and it was just...
And I think that's why the 80s turned into so much of don't do drugs, because I think that people did recognize it in society that, hey, man, this is getting too out of control.
Yeah.
You know?
The 80s was cool. I mean, I don't look back all the time, so... But the 80s was cool. I remember it was fun times, but... Then there were some times that were a struggle as well. So,
yeah,
I mean, it was,
see, I'm a big fan of the 80s. I cherish the 80s. I love the 80s. It's not about me living in the past, but I can do the 80s thing through and through. But yeah, no. And then what about, so the food was consistently good and all that stuff, but what'd you think about the museum?
The Hooters Museum was pretty nice.
I wasn't expecting that.
It was very nice. It had everything documented from where they began and what they did.
Yeah, it was just a corner of the gift store, but I recognized right away that this was the history of the museum, how we can say this name, it's fine. Lynn Austin, you know, was a Hooters waitress that made it into Playboy,
uh-huh.
You know, and she literally worked at that building, which Hooters has become an international phenom tradition. And you and I love Hooters, man. And anytime, you know, real seriously, anytime I love Hooters. And yeah, it's a little more, but you know, you're paying for good ambiance. You're paying for good looking girls. You're paying for, hey, you might find a genuine server like we had yesterday. She was really nice. I really enjoyed her company. But that was.
Well, they had the license plates there. They had the football helmets when they sponsored the football league.
Hooters Airline.
Yeah, they had the picture of the Hooters Airline. They had a lot of different photos of folks that were famous that were there,
yeah.
That visited that location. I just love it all. It's pretty nice.
And I'm with you. I love it all too because. I guess part of that pride pirate is knowing that one of our favorite restaurants started right here.
It started here.
Kind of like Beef O'Brady's. We're Beef's fans. I think we're more Hooters fans than Beef's, but we will never oppose going to Beef's. And our OG, you know, we got two famous chicken wing places in town between Hooters and Clearwater, which is still there. The original Beef O'Brady's here in Brandon, in the heart of Brandon off of King's Road. Still the original place. It's like, I love that stuff. Gives me some pride.
And Hooters stuck to their roots over these years, and they didn't astray too far.
You're right.
Everything is the same that I can remember from the first time I went.
Consistency.
Like, I want to say the first time I went to Hooters may have been like 1986 or 87. I mean, okay. It was a while back.
But okay.
I remember the first time going. And just being in awe. I was like, this is a cool sports bar. I've never been in one. You know, I'm a teenager. That's like awesome, you know?
Yeah, see, my first Hooters is ours, Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously. I'd never been to Hooters before until we got the one here in Brandon. Yeah,
I may have went to the...
Because my parents wouldn't pay for that, and that's okay. I understand why they couldn't afford it. Blah,
I may
blah,
have
blah.
Went with an uncle or some relatives that came to town or something. We went
took them to the
OG? We either went to the OG because we were at the beach, or we went to the one on Hillsboro.
The one by Hillsboro. That one's actually near the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been to that one before as well.
Yeah, I know that area.
It's a big one.
It is?
It's a big one.
Okay, you know, I've definitely been to more than one Hooters, but it's funny when I see Hooters, like I was in Egg York City.
Oh, you was in Egg York City?
One time, yeah. And I saw a Hooters there and I started laughing. I'm like, I'm not coming up here to go to Hooters. I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, it's a get out of here. You know, to me, it's a Florida thing, you know, and don't get me wrong. You know me with the Hard Rock Cafe. I mean, if there's a Hard Rock Cafe in a city to go visit, I'm in because that's like a personal collectible thing to me. Even though I don't have collectibles from a lot of them, I do have the majority of places I stayed in. Either I got a hat or a shot glass or anything like that. So yeah, no, Hooters, man. We went to the OG.
I like the OG. It was a great experience. I got the naked wings, hot sauce on them.
Yeah, we got
some Blau cheeses.
Some Blau cheese, blue cheese, by the way, from people I got to translate for our listeners. They're like, what is Blau cheese?
Got some celery.
Yeah, celery, and we had lots of tots.
I had salad with ranch dressing. With
the ranch. I did the ranch.
You did the ranch as well?
Yeah, I did the ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, so what'd you think of the sound before we get into the music artist here? So this is a brand new venue and an amphitheater down in Clearwater, Florida. What'd you think?
Well, it was pretty easy to get into. We parked like...
Getting in was no problem, was it?
Getting in, except you had to pay $30, but that's just how it is.
Oh, boy. I know. I was like, can he go ahead and cut my artery here? You know?
I mean, I guess it costs that much for a guy to stand there all day, so pay him $30 an hour, I guess.
I know. And then he didn't give us a ticket or anything in the hopes that they're still not going to tow my car. I mean, how do we know that he's not some asshole out there that put up a couple cones and just collecting cash? We don't know that.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
That might be something you want to say to the sound people when you do your little chime in about the bathrooms and all that other good.
Oh, when I email them, you know, it is at least the first bullet points, and we'll talk about this. I want to save this part for the end of the discussion.
Sure.
But the parking thing, I can completely sit there and say, well, that's got nothing to do with us. But the other things I will mention. But the reason why I ask is because this was a new venue from you and me. And, you know, just a couple months ago, you had never been to the Mid-Florida Amphitheater, not where we saw, not Lynyrd Skynyrd. I've been to so many shows there this summer. Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper, you came to me with that concert. That was your first concert there, right?
At the Mid-Florida, yes.
Yeah, at the Mid-Florida. So comparing the two, did you like them the same or did you, what the differences? Just give me your opinion on anything.
I like the sound. It was a smaller facility. I like smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt it was easy to get in and out of both of them the same. So the only thing about the sound is that the bathrooms.
Oh, terrible.
They were like the size of the bathrooms in a McDonald's.
Yeah,
there was very, very, very few toilets, very few urinals.
Look, let's get into this, okay? Yeah. Because you've been to both places now, okay? And Mid Florida is near our house here, outside of Tampa, Florida, and Clearwater's on the other side of the fair. And you'd never been there before. However, when we went to the Head, how many urinals did you see open and ready for use? A bunch.
There was at least 20 or 30 of them in a row.
Right, and they have. They have four of those facilities, plus porta potties in the grass. If you sit in the grass seats at the top, and I think what it is the experience. The sound is a brand new amphitheater. The other part you forgot about, those chairs sucked.
My ass was hurting.
So they were these fixed plastic chairs, so you couldn't move it on artificial turf, right? And you couldn't move them, which was fine. I get you want to keep them in uniform and row and everything. But the angle was messed up on them. I've got very wide shoulders. But even between you and sitting next to my other buddy, I noticed that we're all kind of
cross-armed.
Because we didn't want to. And even doing that, we were still touching shoulder to shoulder. You know, and I'm not a touch-a-phobe or anything like that, but I felt like I was in a Cessna plane, my West Virginia trip, all over again for about 3.5 hours, other than when we got to stand up, because at least when we stand up, we kind of traded off of, you know, not standing parallel to each other, you know. So those seats suck. Not the view, just the comfort or
the comfort level on my ass was bad. That's why I had to stand up on some songs that
my back's a little sore to this day.
Yeah. I had to, I'm not,
that was just yesterday
that much. So when I sit that long, it better be comfortable.
Yes.
And I had to stand, you've seen, I would stand up, sit down.
Well, that's what you do at a concert.
I felt like I was at a Catholic church kind of.
Yeah. That's what you do at a concert. Yeah. So bad bathrooms, like you said, acoustically sounded good, bad bathrooms, terrible, terrible chairs. They need to put up jumbotrons.
The other thing I noticed, and I didn't mention this to you, they had food trucks over to the left.
Yes.
And I noticed, I heard in the faint distance, a generator running, like a small gasoline generator.
Oh.
And I had a headache last night from the exhaust smell.
Really?
Yeah, I smelled it.
Luckily, we didn't get hit with too much weed.
No, and there wasn't that. I smelled a little bit of weed.
Hey, but here and there.
But, yeah. You know, that wasn't, I mean, I know older folks do it, but I don't That's fine. That was a different older crowd. That wasn't like.
Yeah, we were still the younger ones there.
We were young. and there just wasn't the type of outer fringe crowd there that you would normally see at a concert.
Yeah, like, no one got stupid. I think the most dramatic part of that concert were the dumbasses who didn't know where their seats were.
That was.
Remember, that was hilarious. It didn't happen one or two times. It happened several times. And then you can see them arguing of where they're supposed to go until they finally realize that people are in the wrong section.
Yeah, that's just not looking at your ticket or phone correctly and looking at the...
Well, I messed up our section because the usher asked, she goes, what section are you in? And I said, 206. She goes, we don't have a 206. We got a 205. I was like, oh, 205. And she pointed us out to it. But at least on the side of the chair, it still said section 205, row M. And then, of course, you go sit down in your number seats. So
yeah, it was...
So they got some tweaking they need to do.
It was good. The only thing that kind of concerned me is that it was pretty wide open as far as the entrance during the concert. And I know that, you know, nowadays when there's a concert, I always think back to like the Jason Aldean attack at his concert.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, you know,
think about security.
Security. And I seen how that gate is kind of wide open where you can get right in. Like, I'm sure during the concert, I'm sure there's security there, but how much?
Well, we still had to go through security, but you notice when we left that same entrance, all those things were gone. So how open does that area stay?
That's what I was wondering. And like, if I ever go there again, I'd look at that. You know, that just seemed like it was wide open. When you're at a concert and you're sitting in chairs and everybody's sitting down on the lawn,
mm-hmm.
they're sitting ducks.
Yeah.
And I think about those things.
Well, you should. It's the world we live in.
How secure is this place while I'm sitting here paying my money to watch a concert with some jackass going to come in here and try to pick everybody off, you know?
Right.
And because the rules are I can't carry and defend myself like I should be able to, because there are some mental idiots that probably if they did have a gun, they'd do suicide there or some other asinine thing.
Oh, they'd kill a bunch of people then
cause a. But really, I just want to protect myself from assholes like him. You know, that's the big problem I have with concerts, going to them. And I know that, you know, I got to be safe. People's got to be safe. You got to keep guns and knives away. But that's just the biggest thing.
The thing is, it's like, you know, oh, they say it's for protection and everything, and it keeps everybody more safe. But, you know, and I'm not slamming on cops, but there are cops here that have guns. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, those guys,
are they going to get over there fast enough? I don't know.
You know, are they at the right place at the right time? Right. Are they going to be the first targets?
They could be. Are. Think about it. If you were going to be diabolical and start some shit at a concert, you take out the armed people first, and because there's less of them, you know, that can become a problem. Then it turns into a shooting galley because nobody else has guns anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. And versus,
don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to advocate here for that crap. You know,
I'm talking what I observed, and this is from a person that thinks about these things all the time. Mm-hmm. And with the look at the state of Israel, they had a concert, that type of stuff was going on there.
And they were attacked.
They were attacked. And I'm sure they had a lot of
security. By paragliders and machine guns and guys in Toyota trucks.
Toyota trucks as
well. That's not good for Toyota stock. It's like, oh, look, the preferred. And I've been seeing the memes because this has been a thing for a while. But it's almost like, oh, yeah, preferred, you know, transport of terrorists, Toyota trucks.
Yeah, they're little lightweight trucks. They haul ass and get you where you need to be in a hurry.
And they're reliable.
And they're reliable as hell.
Yeah.
And so when I was at Mid-Florida, the logistics of getting into the place was several layers, several barriers.
And way smoother.
Yes. And I felt safe there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, there was like a berm, so nobody could like come up from the other outer edges.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It'd be very hard-pressed to sneak in there.
Yeah. It seemed like it was a...
It's not impossible, but...
And there was a lot of sheriffs on the outside in their cars as well.
Oh, yeah.
So the place was...
Remember, we saw SWAT members there.
We did see SWAT.
I was like, they're standing there with their ARs, and I'm like, damn, yeah, okay. They
were standing by the dumpster.
That didn't damn me in a negative way. That damned me like, cool.
Yeah, you're protected.
Yeah.
That was the thing I observed at Clearwater versus the... mid Florida. That's the one thing I observed.
Well, and the points I brought up and the points you brought up, I think because this place is brand new, they're going to have to work on some things.
They do.
Because I told you even last night, mid Florida didn't have those screens early on. I've been to some shows back, and because that place, believe it or not, has been around since the early 2000s. Matter of fact, the first show I saw there was Dave Matthews. They didn't have those screens back then.
Yeah, it would have been cool to where we were sitting
was okay. Was good, actually. It was good. I mean, we had a good view of the stage.
We had a good view, but my vision is not that well. And even my camera could zoom in so far, but it was still fuzzy.
Yeah, and you didn't know Vic Johnson was a Yabro.
I couldn't see that, and I couldn't see like Sammy Hagar sunglasses that he was wearing the whole time, or what color hair George Thorogood was wearing that day.
Well, this is on a personal friend side note on the health front. You probably should go get your eyes checked, man, because you're like me now.
Yeah.
You're in your early 50s, and the close up reading has become a little challenging. And the only reason why I say this is because I've been wearing glasses since I was 10 years old. Guess what? Just like you see now, I'm not wearing my glasses because with my contacts, distance wise, I see everything perfectly clear.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So I can see Sammy, his sunglasses, of course, Vic, John Bonham, not John Bonham, Scott Bonham, the son. Jason Bonham. I always mix them up. I can see his shiny bald head. I can see Mikey's. Mikey always had a little bit of thinner hair, even in the 80s. So, and that's what's nice about his look is he still looks exactly the same, even though he's pushing almost 70 years old.
It was just at that point where, you know, you're at that distance where you can't see.
But with a Jumbotron, you could have been able to see better.
I could have seen a lot better.
Right.
And that would be cool to have.
I'll put that on a side note, man. I think you ought to get your eyes checked for distance because you should be able to see like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you might need a little bifocal action, man. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I wear glasses.
I'm going to try to avoid it as long as I can.
But you know what? I've been wearing glasses since I was 10 years old, so it doesn't bother me. And it is what it is, you know, because my near vision about 5 years ago started to go. And at first I thought there was something wrong with me. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm 45 years old. Okay. And it kind of sucks because I do miss because I was a contact wearing fool and I still wear contacts, but I rarely wore my glasses. Because I could see close, I can see far perfectly. I could still see far perfectly. This right here, I'm a little blurry.
Sure.
You know, just a little, you know. But, you know, if I was going to get on my phone or anything. But anyways, so what did you think of the music part since we've opined so much about the facility? So
the Damon Fowler came out. He's from Brandon, Florida. He's a blues artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the blues. And he had some songs that he had written. He is a
original
writer. He's from Brandon, Florida, and he
did it acoustically. It was just him.
Yeah.
Him and a guitar.
Remember he said that they have a Grammy coming out for Live at the Palladium.
Yeah. He's nominated for a Grammy.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So he played a couple sets and he's a pretty cool guy. He played all acoustic, which is pretty good. I like that.
Yep.
And
only four or five songs though. Well, yeah, went out there too long. He was out there for about 35 minutes.
It felt relaxing to hear.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And then, after that, George came out. I've never seen George Thorogood.
Yeah. Same here. We've been talking about this for months and it was very, very exciting to see George.
Man. And the guitar solos that he was doing were incredible, man. He was just banging on that guitar, man.
But to hear the sound, the music that we know of him. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a diehard Thorogood fan, but come on. I mean, Bad to the Bone, you know, I Drink Alone, One Bourbon, One Scotch, you know, One Beer, you know, those are the iconic songs that George is known for. Plus he played other songs that I enjoyed. And we have a new one there for a one that's a little bit off the beat for the song of the show. But man, what just cool, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, a lot of the songs that George Thorogood sings are covers of other folks' music. Like Moving On Over is a Hank Williams mm-hmm. Jr. song.
One Bourbon, One Scotch is a cover. I don't know the original artist name. He's out of the 50s.
Yeah, he's originally a blues singer too as well. And then Bad to the Bone was written by some other folks that were songwriters.
That happens all the time, but George still gets to be the one who, you know, who that's his song.
Yeah.
Well, even the cover songs, he's taken cover songs and pretty much made it his own.
Yeah, Johnny Lee Hooker is the original.
One bourbon, one scotch. Yeah, and I've actually heard it, and it is a different rendition.
Yes.
You know, it's 50s rock and roll.
50s, yeah, 50s blues.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, and that's what most of his rock is, a mixture of rock.
Blues rock.
And he's kind of got that Delaware, Jersey sound, that coastal sound there with the sax, that 50s Jersey sound.
Yeah.
Kind of like Eddie and the Cruisers music.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like that with the sax.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of sax. Every song was sax. That
guy was badass.
Dude. Oh,
he was really blown away.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He was, really, but then wasn't exciting to, for the first time ever, maybe the last time ever, hearing live one bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh shit.
And our compadre, he timed it,
yeah, because if you're a Thorogood fan, you know there's a short version, there's a medium version, and there's a long version. He did the medium version.
Yes, he did.
10 minutes, about 10, almost 11, because you know, I think our third friend, he doesn't have a nickname, so he's the third friend. Yeah. Let's just call him third friend. Third friend, you know, he timed it, and it was like 10:50, and I was like, yeah, you know, that was still decent length.
Yeah, and then, you know, there was an intermission for a little bit. I stood in the bathroom line for about 10-15 minutes.
That's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to be standing in the bathroom.
Women were making fun of the men. They were like, this is the first time we've ever seen men in a long line like this.
And I've experienced that before, because when I went to a show at Ruth Eckert Hall, when I saw Britt Floyd, the cover band for Pink Floyd,
right. The
men's line was longer because guys, as they get older, they can't piss as fast as they used to.
Sure.
And the girls were making fun of us then. And I was like, hey man, I'll still go in there and be done in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, but most guys, they're in there dripping, man. I hate to be all personal or nasty, but they're in there just
slow flow, I guess.
Oh God, I'm glad that hasn't happened to me yet.
I mean, I have a medium, probably.
Yeah, no, you've opined when we've been in the urinal, and you hear me in there just, and you're like, God dang, Chewy, you already done? I was like, yep.
It's a pressure washer hose.
You know why? Because I do my Kegels.
That's probably what it is.
I'm serious. It sounds funny. People think I'm joking. No, I do my freaking Kegels. It's important. Plus, it helps you with coitus.
I'm sure it does.
It does. It helps you last longer. Sure. Not that I would know, but I'm passing that on to you. But at least I can still carve my name in the porcelain with my pee stream.
There you go.
Yeah. So would you... So, the stuff we talked about with the sound, I got to get better bathrooms. So, what'd you think of Sammy?
Oh man, I have never seen Sammy or the Van Halen members.
Any of them.
Ever in my life. Now, okay.
And you got to watch half of Van Halen.
The first time I ever heard any Van Halen music was probably like 1983, 1984.
With Diamond Dave.
I may have heard a little bit before.
I was like you. I did hear a little of them before, but you know what put them on the map was Jump.
Yeah, well, I heard the Girl, You Really Got Me Going. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, song. And that's a cover song.
I remember, yeah, that's... I
forgot who, but I know
that's Roy Orbison. And then...
No, not Roy. That was another song that they covered for Roy.
You're right.
Go ahead and look that up. But yeah. either way... You'd never seen any version of Van Halen at all, right?
Never seen them in concert ever. I just heard them in the radio or heard them playing CDs or cassettes or albums.
How about the MTV days?
And the MTV when they used to have the album of Dave jumping and everything and the keyboard and all that with Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, well, that was from Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible to see that. So Ray Davies, he was from the Kinks.
is the Kink song. Yeah, I knew it wasn't Roy Orbison.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know the song.
It's the other song. There's another song written by them.
Yeah, no, I can't think of it at the top of my head, but I know Van Halen did cover
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, yeah. That's right.
So that one I knew of as well, Oh Pretty Woman.
Right. And so, they did those prior to 1984, and that was the record 1984, which had Panama on it, which had Jump, where it there was another song on there I really liked. I can hear it, but I can't think of it. But it doesn't matter.
So
but
really got me was 78, and the Oh Pretty Woman was 1982.
Okay, but either way, before what I consider their mainstream breakthrough album, which was 1984, ironically, Pirate, that was Dave's last album with them until Modern Times. So just when they broke through the MTV, the mainstream music scene, they broke up.
They did.
Yeah. So, not immediately, but within a year or so, they replaced him with Sammy Hagar, and Sammy Hagar had contributed a bunch of great hits themselves. Different sound for the band, you have to admit. Not completely changed, but distinction between Dave and Sammy.
Dave had a little bit of that, you know, rah, rah, screaming a little bit, and then where Sammy he screamed. But
even the music.
His music is, the lyrics that Dave wrote and the type of songs that he wrote were completely different.
Well, I thought
his trademark scream was different.
Well, I felt like Van Halen with Dave was more rock, whereas I feel like Van Halen with Sammy was more pop.
Really? Yeah, it was.
Think about the songs we heard last night.
Yeah.
You know,
finish what you start. It's kind of like a pop rock.
They became even bigger with Sammy on MTV because of their music, and they did a lot of videos. Again, I always say don't quote me because, you know, I don't want to be put over the stones here and take my lashings. They had only did like 3 or 4 videos with David Lee Roth. They did more videos with Sammy.
They did. And they also did some movies like Twister. They had some songs in Twister, the movie.
There's a track on there where Eddie and Alex contributed to that. It wasn't Van Halen. It was just them two. Yeah, I know. I have the sound.
I thought they played that song, Can't Stop Loving You.
That was a Sammy song. Yeah, but
there was a couple other songs.
I'm saying there was a track, because I have the Twister soundtrack. There was a Twister soundtrack where only Eddie and Alex played on it. No singing.
Music.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the whole plethora of music that you know, Sammy and the whole band played?
Well, the songs, I had never heard any of them in live, so I was blown away at the talent that Vic.
Yes.
The
lead guitarist.
Was the lead guitarist. I've never seen Eddie Van Halen play in person, so I had no, what you say, frame of reference.
Right.
But I know how he sounded. And when I closed my eyes and heard this guy play,
ain't Vic sound just like
him? I was blown away.
Incredible. And
he can make that guitar talk.
And Vic still does his own thing, though, because he's got to play Montrose music. He has to play Red Rocker music, because Sammy was in a couple different bands. And he plays his own music, because Sammy Hagar and the Circle, even though he only played one song from the Circle, there's plenty of music that's all Vic.
Yeah, I even noticed, too, he even did the old thing that Eddie would do.
On the fretboard.
Yeah, he would do that, make it talk, and he took the guitar up to the amps.
Right, and it would make wrong. Yeah.
He knew all about that.
Yeah, so. And he's almost kind of like a nonchalant guy out there, because did you notice how Sammy did most of the talking with Michael Anthony? It's like those two being the old Van Halen crew, and that's how they became friends. So when Sammy got kicked out, eventually they kicked out Mikey, and then they started their own band together. And because when Van Halen got back together years later with Diamond Dave, they brought in Wolfgang Van Halen, which was Alex's, Eddie's son. So in a purist way, Van Halen band was more Van Halen than it ever was. However, I never got to see the original lineup, and I wish I did. I have seen different versions of Van Halen. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not trying to rub it in. I have got to see Eddie perform live, and insane. I mean, he makes it look easy, but at the same time, I recognize the art, the talent of his playing. He's not just up there just old school 60s rock and roll. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to pick on 60s rock and roll, but it was a little more simple just with the strumming, and they would change a little song tune here and a bee. Eddie was constantly just changing and up, and you know, there, don't get me wrong, there were some riffs, but then every now and then during the riff, you'd hear boom, 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 you know, just he was, it wasn't a consistent style of play, because I felt like he was literally all over the place. So to see Vic be able to channel that,
yeah, that guy's talented for sure. And then, I was not in the know at the time of the concert that Jason Bonham, who is the
Scott Bonham's son,
Led Zeppelin, the original Led Zeppelin. And I know I like Led Zeppelin, and I was like, wow, this is great. And the guy can really play drums.
Well, he got his old man's genes in him, didn't he?
Yeah, he can really play drums. And then the Michael Anthony, you know, I had never seen him. I was just blown away that he was there. Hey, you know, I was blind going into this concert.
Bass player of Van Halen.
Yeah, and he can really play the bass good, and he's a good vocal singer.
Yep, and I purposely did not tell you that because I wanted you to enjoy it, because last year when I saw Sammy Hagar in the Circle, same band, same guys, that was the first time I heard Mikey, everyone calls him Mikey. You heard Sammy last night, Mikey. I feel like I know him. You noticed that... you know, he played the only soul David Lee Roth Van Halen song. So when he played that last year at the Strawberry Festival, I had no idea. I was like, look, he's just the former bass. Not to say Jess. He's the former bass player of Van Halen, and he was a backup vocalist. I had no idea he can sing like that.
Yeah, I think I was looking through Apple Music at their music a while back, and I think there is like one song written by Michael Anthony, and I think he actually sings it on one of
the Van Halen albums.
I was looking at all the old
school albums. I didn't know this.
One day when we're kicking back at the back porch or something, I'll try to pull that album up and find it.
We'll have to find it.
I'll play it. He actually sings the whole song, and he wrote it as well.
Neat.
And actually gave him the spot to do that on the album.
But he did Ain't Talking About Love.
Yes.
And I joked with you halfway through the song. I was like, isn't this a Two Live Crew song? Because remember they took the riff,
and it
was called the F House. You know, I try not to cuss too much because I know my mom listens to the show. So let's say it was the F House.
Ibaka, you cuss too much.
See, I've told you this a million times, man. She doesn't talk like that. She speaks normal English. I don't know where you guys get this notion, because my mom is from Japan. She's lived here for 60 plus years, man.
Well, that's just your like. Cartoon mom that we're trying to put out there.
Well, you're almost trying to do a bad Miyagi.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, at least I can pull off a Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi is your mom.
I like that. Yeah. You do know karate here. You karate here squeeze just like a grape. So
how about that that song? Come on, baby, finish what you started.
Yeah, because he said a big sexual slur that just cracked you and I up, man.
Yeah, man. Go ahead, tell him how it went.
Yeah, he was just, you know, because you know the song, Come on, baby.
Well, he said it was about finishing
it's up about, sex. Yeah, yeah. And then,
about sex.
Yeah, you know, come on, baby, finish what you started. And then he ad-libbed a line where he just said, I need some pussy.
Yeah.
You know?
And I was looking around at some of these people. Now, mind you, you know, we're in our 50s, so most of these folks there, I want to say they were older than us. There was
we were definitely in the young generation.
We were little preemies there. I was looking around going, holy shit. And there were some old geezers there just rocking away. And I looked over next to you, and there was this older lady. And when Sammy said that, I could see her face had changed real quick. I was like, ooh.
Did she start doing the cross? You know, had to make sure she pray that she wasn't. Hey, look, I'm a part of this. But somehow some people who are very religious, especially Catholics, they'll do that. They'll do the cross. And I'm like, and sometimes I'm you know, I guess I'm being sarcastic. I'm like, well, does that help? You know, does that absolve you of
it absolves you from what you heard?
Yeah. You know, I mean, well, it's almost like they're feeling guilt for hearing what somebody else said, but then or thinking about it, or maybe it's because they paid to be there and they're contributing to this. You're a heathen. You're going to go to hell unless you do 50 Hail Marys, and you better repent 30 freaking times. Come back to me next week. Bring $100.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that gets you out of jail, right? $100, 50 Hail Marys, bunch of repentance, and give the dirty, corrupt pastor $100. Sure. And
make sure you bring a covered dish for potluck.
Yeah. Yeah. We just love your mashed potatoes. Can you bring your mashed potatoes? You know, and then you'll be fine in the Lord's view. It's like, oh my God. And look, I am a Christian. I'm not overly religious. I am a Christian, but I recognize how this has been manipulated. But anyways, let's not get all religious here. So the rest of the show, what'd you think?
Yeah, it was badass. I filmed some clips. I showed them to my wife and she appreciated them.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she's a Van Halen fan as well.
Well, she likes a lot of 80s music.
She does. She likes rock music.
And Sammy did a lot of 80s music. Yeah, he did a couple 70 ones, well, too.
There was some 90s music in there.
Yeah, he threw a couple 90s in there. Yep.
I really liked the 90s.
He did. He announced what year it was, a lot of the songs before he started
that.
It.
That was great. He's a great performer. He plays a great guitar. I didn't know he was that talented with the guitar. I mean, he did his little solo. It was great.
76 years old. Can you believe that?
And he had a jersey that said 76, football jersey.
See, again, that's where you got to get your eyes fixed. Fans in the front were throwing shit at him, and he would sign it and wear it.
Yeah. Yep. That's what they were doing.
Yep, that's what they were doing.
He even threw tequila out at people, his tequila. Well,
he gave a couple people some cups of tequila. Yeah, he sprayed some of them, which I thought was a little rude, but, you know, I guess – if you're paying that much to be that close to the stage, go ahead, drown me. I got drowned with that's what their friends are telling later. I got drowned with Sammy Hagar tequila.
I got drunk off. Yeah,
I'm. Fist. I am never taking a shower again.
No, it was that was cool.
Great show.
I wouldn't have mind that, and I just thought it was a great show, and I enjoyed myself. You know. We went home, and I really enjoyed watching the videos. And
well, I had a bonus with that today. So So after I worked out,
the bonus
concert related. So after I finished working out this morning, I went to the golf range to hit a bucket.
Oh, you went to the golf range?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, I have been serious about just trying to get okay. That was my watch.
Okay,
just letting me know I closed my
circle. Silent.
Close. Oh no, it's letting me know I closed my circle. So my physical activity is done for the day.
Oh, you can be just lazy the rest of the day.
Yeah, even though we've been sitting here for the last hour, which is hilarious, an hour and a half actually. So anyway, so I was hitting a bucket of golf balls. Hitting okay. I'm getting better, man. I'm feeling it. And I know when I hit wrong, why I hit wrong, whereas before I was kind of like, oh, what did I do? And it's about the consistency or whatever. Well, I happened to notice a gentleman putt-putting with his family right behind the driving range there, and he had a Cabo Wabo shirt on him. And I was taking a break, and so I struck up a conversation with him. I was like, hey, did you go to the show last night? He goes, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, I was there too. What'd you think of the sound and everything? He's like, yeah, really cool venue. And he goes, did you enjoy the show? I said, it's Sammy Hagar. You know, I'm a Van Halen fan and, you know, whatever. And he goes, well, you know, the lead guitarist? I was like, yeah, Vic Johnson. And he goes, I'm his brother. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, he's just saying that. And he showed me some pictures. Wow. So he's legit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How strange is it to run into that? Where were you, in Lithia? Egghawk. Oh wow!
At the Ace off of Boyette, yeah, the off Ace of Boyette, Golf, yeah. Off Ace Golf. They are only one left since they got rid of the other one there in the heart of Brandon. You
know, driving range are becoming a rarity in these parts.
Well, it's all that land that you know people want to put houses on or apartments. Yeah, yeah, Yeah. So anyways, it was legit because he showed me some pictures behind the stage. At least I want to believe him. I do believe him. You know, you got to be a little skeptical these days. And then he scrolled over and he goes, "Do you know who that is?" I was like, "You met John Travolta." John Travolta was at the show last night we were at.
Wow.
Because we think we saw Guy Fieri.
Well, he's a Floridian.
Yes. Well, John Travolta is a Floridian.
Yeah, and I think he's also involved with the Scientology people a little bit.
That would make sense. We did notice a Scientology building.
Down there. Yeah,
maybe that's why we paid $30. Maybe we parked in the Scientology church.
Could have been.
Oh. Okay. And
I also think, because I'm a big fan of this guy, I think Guy Fieri was there.
That's what I'm saying. We think we saw him twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I met Vic Johnson's brother, and his name was Barry. And I told him, I was like, man, I've seen.
So you think he lives in Egg Hawk, possibly?
He has to. He didn't look like he was touring. I didn't get into that, but I told him, you know, well, I've seen your brother play a bunch of times, and he's definitely got Eddie's spirit playing through him because he was just incredible. And that's where I left it. It was like a 3-minute conversation, if that. He was getting behind with his family. They were leaving him on putt-putt, so he had to go catch up, and I was ready to get back to my golf swing. So yeah, that was the big
that was
a big bonus, man. But
that is great, man.
But we've been doing some shows lately, but right now I got nothing on the radar, man. Have you heard anything? You know, because third friend, he looked up and saw Sticks and 38 Special, but unfortunately it's at the same venue and it's pretty much sold out. Because, by the way, the Sound in Coachman Park in Clearwater is a 10,000 seat amphitheater. So that's why we were comparing it to the Mid Florida, because the Mid Florida is 20,000 plus. The Sound is about 10,000, not a small venue by any stretch of the means, but definitely smaller compared to Mid Florida. But, you know, overall impressed, with the facility. Just they, you know, they're new and they can use some tweaking from, you know, from a concert goer's perspective. You know, that line to the head was, in my opinion, unacceptable. Sure. But it's funny to see the women picking on the older guys, because now the tides have turned, because now, you know, they're getting in and out faster compared to the dudes, which is hilarious. But do your Kegels, you wouldn't have that freaking problem.
Yeah. I mean, I see some country concerts coming up that I'm going to probably go to, maybe.
Yeah.
But I like to go to small venues. I'm not like the big venue type person.
One exception would be AC/DC. We can't skip that.
If they came around, I probably would see that.
I am not skipping AC/DC.
Like that Jason Aldean had come yesterday to the.
And that was our dilemma. It was either go see George Thorogood and Sammy or Jason Aldean. And we had to pick one because we ran into that concert traffic on the way home. And, by the way, that traffic we saw at Ybor was their unofficial Halloween party. They don't call it Guavaween anymore because it has a history of violence. But you had a couple of gangbanger shootouts there last night.
Wow.
What do you think of that? You know, you want to go down and party and put on your costume, and you might actually get hurt or killed.
Well, that's the problem with today's society, and this is everywhere we go. I mean, you have this degenerative type of mentality that I'm a pop culture gangbanger. You know, it's cool to ride around and act like I'm
to be a gangster.
I'm a drug dealer gangster. You know, I'm a badass, and you ain't shit.
Yeah, And the thing,
people scared. People don't want to be out.
And I've never been much of a clubbing guy anyways. I mean, back in the day, you know, for a couple bachelor parties, we went down there, especially when 7th Avenue was closed. Remember those days? You could just walk down the street.
Yeah, I remember those days. I didn't like when it was closed. I thought that was just kind of vanilla.
Well, it wasn't even so much vanilla. They did in the guise of safety. But the problem is that then too many people were hanging out down there.
Well, that's why I thought it was vanilla. It brought in droves of people, which normally wouldn't be there.
Well, the thing is now is that because Sparkman Wharf, which was former Channelside, has gotten rid of all their nightclubs, all the clubs and bars shifted back to Ybor.
Right.
So I went 2 years ago, not because I wanted to, and luckily only stayed an hour. The sidewalks there are packed to the gills with people, and no offense, just scary looking people.
Well, yeah. What bothers me about Ybor is they should get back to their roots. First of all, they cater more towards like the rap and pop culture music and all this like music no one understands. And then there isn't any other clubs in there anymore that are just like average clubs or regular dance club. I mean, they have Coyote Ugly. That's there. That's a franchise.
That's a country place.
It's not.
I don't know shit about clubs.
I've been in there a half dozen times. It's just a bar where a bunch of girls dance on top of the bar.
Okay, so it's not necessarily country music.
It's not country. They'll play country there. They'll play some rock. They even probably play some rap music, I'm sure. But it's mainly just a place where you're going to get some beers, some drinks. I think they even have a little bit of food there. It's a small little hole in the wall, but it's a franchise. There are a few other places there. I mean, there's the James Joyce. I think Strand Hill's down that way. There are a few other, but there's a lot of them like big time clubs like Castle and Prana, and there's the Ritz and some of them places.
Yeah, Prana with the Secret Service security guards outside with the earpieces. Like and they're all wearing suits. It cracks me up, man. It's just like, yeah, you're right. No, it'd be like, does James Bond come here or something?
Well, it's like the Night at the Roxbury type clubs, you know.
Yeah, this upscale-y. But you know what? We went in there a couple times. Wasn't impressed.
No, it's not upscale. It's a bunch of bullshit. And there used to be lots of great clubs down there. You know, back in the day, there was Harpo's, there was Bar Tampa, there was Green Iguana. There were just bars that people would go into and have a good time, no matter who you were, no matter what type of music. They weren't just stuck with one type of music or one type of genre.
They'd play everything.
They played everything, and everybody got along with everybody in there. And that's what I like about going to places. And when you meet different people, I don't like when you go in there and everybody's this hipster rap person or everybody's trying to be a gangster, you know.
Well, there was the shootout last night was between two gang members.
Yeah.
And unfortunately other people got hurt. I think two were killed and like 15, 16 people were hit and injured, but talk about causing a huge panic and just
sure.
None of that sounds like fun to me, man.
No.
I get people why they want to go out and have a good time. Why Ybor? You know, seriously, why Ybor? There's so many other great choices out there.
It actually is a great place. I spent a lot of nights there. It was a great place to go.
But you're talking about 20 years ago. Yeah. I'm talking now, man. This is no slamming on black people or anything like that. So before you go cause racism or anything, to me, I don't care if you're white, Hispanic, whatever. I just feel like it's a bunch of hoodlums there of all creeds, of all generations, not all generations, but all ethnicities, and they act like animals. And to me, it doesn't feel like fun. I'm not going out to go get in a fight. I'm not going out to get shot at. I'm not going out to get berated. And it just seems like too much of that crap happens down there, because the flip side of Ybor City during the day, it's a nice, quiet, old historical cigar place. Italian, Cuban, you know, the famous Colombian is off the same road. All that.
Oh, there's some clubs great restaurants there. There's the Columbia. Yes. There's Carmine's. There's a handful.
A lot of mom and pop pizza places.
Oh, that New York pizza is the best. Man. Yeah. The pizza's like the size of half of this tablecloth here.
Yeah. Yes. And so during the day. Perfect.
It's a great place for a day.
Or even Acropolis started down there. You know, I love that Greek Acropolis food.
They used to have the spaghetti warehouse down there. I've been there.
Oh, my God. Now you're going nostalgic. I miss that place, man. I could not believe that place shut down.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
I mean, it was so, and it was in a basement, too. So, it's very rare to have basements in Florida.
Well, it's because the cigar building was up top, and they had a storage down below, and they used it as a restaurant. It had a trolley car in the middle of it.
Yeah, the spaghetti gosh, you're bringing up some old school memories.
I
mean,
I went down to Ybor a lot in my younger days, and even up until my early 40s, I had gone here and there, and great place. Had a lot of good memories there, great times, and, but I seen it slowly deteriorating, the type of folks that would hang out there.
And that's why they quit closing down the streets. That's why they got rid of Guavaween, because there was just too much crap happening down there. And it seems like, again, there's too much crap happening down there. I don't get it.
Well, it's just there's a lot of people. And if this was a smaller town, Tampa, maybe it'd be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But then again, I look at Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Are they having those problems? New Orleans in their main strip. That's a daily occurrence there.
A French Quarter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or look at Key West.
I've only been down there once, but see, we don't hear all the local news that happens there. Is the same thing happening there? Are people getting shot at, or is it kosher? Is it good? Is it okay? You know, going clubbing is just about drinking and dancing and having a good time. Well, I mean, right?
Any bar, hell, we could go to some local yokel bar here in Plant City or Dover and pull up in there, and there could be a shooting because some hillbilly got pissed off at another hillbilly for looking at his girlfriend wrong. I mean, that can happen.
I guess what you're saying, this doesn't happen that often.
Well, it shouldn't happen that often, but it.
Oh, yeah, because of course it should happen.
I mean, often. I've seen shit happen in bars before. I've seen people get punched out and knocked out. I've seen, you know, people get into arguments, and I've seen people out in the parking lot getting fights.
I've never experienced any bar fights. I've gotten lucky, but I've never been much of a bar person, so, you know, I don't frequent as much, you know, because I know back in the day that used to be your thing when you just wanted to get away from the family or whatever. You're like, I'm going to the bar, you know, and that was a typical thing of guys to do. Like, yeah. Hey, I'm going to the bar.
And I don't even see that anymore. I don't see too many young kids at bars. I don't see they normally hang out at these clubs that you're talking about.
Yeah, because they want to dance.
Yeah,
and they want to exchange X and whatever other drugs that they're using.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. So, you know, usually when you're at a bar, it's pretty safe to say that there's not going to be a lot of crazy fools there nowadays.
Yeah, kind of like the arcade bar arcade we checked out a couple months ago. The iguanas or whatever it was in Valrico with the
stingray.
Stingrays. There you go. I knew it was some kind of animal.
Yeah, that place was pretty chill.
Yeah, and you were absolutely right. You said without the arcades, this place would just be another plain Jane vanilla arcade.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was the arcades that made it stood out, which, hey, I'm not complaining about.
Yeah, but that place, and one day we'll visit that place.
And I'd like to go back there again. But I'm saying that's the kind of place I can see myself. I
think the union guys should experience that place.
Yeah, well, that's if they ever show up.
If they would show up, they would really see that place was a cool place. It'd be a great, like, after hours or something, or just a weekend gig, you know?
Or like you said, the nightcap.
Sure. You know? Well, any of them would be.
We found our loyalty to the cigar place, and we end up having a good time there Thursday night. We got there early because union ended early, and even the owner was he was like, hey, you guys are here early. You know, I was like, I thought that was kind of funny that
we went to that place, Jerry's on the water there on Alfaya River,
or AJ's on the river, whatever AJ's. We're calling it. Same place.
The bartender girl was wearing a Jerry's shirt, but I think that's what it used to be called. That's what I
think
I remember.
I think it was called AJ's on the river.
Yeah, now it's Jerry's.
Yeah.
I've been there like a long time back.
I never been. That was my first time.
And it's always, it looks the same.
But it was good. I liked it. Yeah. The food was good. The
menu that they had years ago was very limited. That was a pretty good menu there.
It was a good menu. The server was nice.
Very nice. She even came out to wish us a good evening and all that.
Yeah, when we left. We were literally outside the building.
Anybody chased me out the door to say, y'all have a great night.
Yeah, no, that was cool. She stuck her head out the door.
I can visit her again. Yeah. She's cool, dude.
Yeah, no,
I think even if we went there on a non-union day, it'd be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the whole thing with the Ybor shooting, man. But I'm just saying, it's just not my cup of tea, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to ever run down there for an evening with a bunch of guys. I think I'm out of that phase. I did it enough. I've been there, done that, got a T-shirt. I live my days when
I'd rather do what we're doing now, because even if we weren't recording right now, you and I would be, it's a Sunday evening. We'd be on the back porch chilling. Alaska Airlines may go for a crashy trip. You hear about this story, Pirate?
Yeah, I heard about it beginning of this week on the AM radio.
Yeah. So what happened here is an actual pilot tried to crash the plane. He was actually in the cockpit, and it was a Boeing 737, but they have what's called a cockpit seat.
Jump seat.
or a jump seat, and it allows a third pilot or a guest
to jump a ride from
to sit in the back. Because back in the day, see, the cockpit size hasn't changed. Back in the day, that jump seat used to be the navigator area. So there used to be three pilots in the cockpit, but with technology over the years, the navigator, the engineer, navigator/engineer has been eliminated because now the computer systems and the main two pilots fly the plane now or so handle
it. The guy in the third jump seat back in the day used to open up the Amoco map.
Well, yeah, he was a navigator.
Yeah.
He kept an eye on the engines, the pressure, the oxygen, just everything. It was his job to monitor, basically.
Ah.
Even the engines, all that.
So he went down and opened up the little hatch and checked the oil level.
Make sure that you top off the blinker light fluid. You know, because without blinker light fluid, the blinkers are not going to work.
Ones that go like this down below.
You got to have blinker light fluid.
Yeah, the red ones and
Man. You got to have without the
if
fluid.
You're low on fluid, it might not blink.
It may not blink. Sucked, so, anyways, this guy was on mushrooms.
What the hell?
So he was high as a kite.
Who the hell goes and gets... I mean, is he scared of flying? What's his deal?
No, he's a pilot.
So what the hell is he on shrooms for?
Well, he was on his end of his shift. He was flying back home as a courtesy because he is an Alaskan Airlines pilot. They let him sit in the jump seat. Unfortunately, because he was high as a kite, he was getting paranoid. He tried to shut off the engines mid-flight.
Jeez.
So the pilots wrestled him out of there. Didn't have to actually do too much wrestling. He actually came to his senses really quick because he realized he was high. And they cuffed him to the rail. And then they called into the tower that where they were going to land to please have law enforcement ready. He is tied up. He said he's not fighting. He actually knows exactly what he did, or at least he does now. But at the time, he didn't. So apparently he's being brought up on 83 separate individual counts of attempted murder because I guess there was 83 passengers on the plane.
Wow.
But here's the funny thing about all this. His home base is Washington State. Marijuana and mushrooms are completely legal. So it's like, well, you can't get him on drug charges. You're going to have to get him on attempted murder charges.
And even then, try proving that that's what he was trying to do. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he really trying to intend to killing people?
I don't know. I have never done mushrooms, so I don't know. It's a psychedelic. I know that much, but I don't know what your reaction is on have you tried mushrooms?
No, I've seen people do it before, but
how do they act? I've never been around anyone that's done mushrooms.
They act like the people do in Zombie Town here. You know, they're waving at people that they think they see.
They're just happy.
And yeah, they're pointing at people that they see. They see things. They see, and they talk to people that they think are in front of them. Kind of like what Spice does.
Mm.
Yeah, Spice.
But Spice, I know. Does have short-term, long-term brain damage. Like, it truly messes you up.
I'm not sure.
Even if you're not on it anymore.
I'm not sure what shrooms.
I've been hearing the argument with shrooms as like marijuana because it is a plant, and they don't do anything to manipulate
the
plant. I've
never heard of people have brain damage from shrooms yet.
Yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's becoming the next recreational drug coming online because, again, it's a plant. It's not chemical. It does chemically alter your brain, make you feel funny, make you feel high, whatever it is. But I do know it's another one of those things. It's like, look, you grow this stuff and I think you eat it.
You can eat it, boil it. You can make tea.
I didn't know any of this stuff.
And I had some friends, hey, pirate, let's drive out to the cow pasture. We need to get some shrooms. I would say, all right.
Is that where they get it from? From a cow pasture?
Well, that's where mushrooms are growing. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Sometimes even up under the cow patties, they'd find them.
So are you telling me that if a mushroom grows in my front yard, I can just eat it and I'll get high from it?
Well, there are certain ones.
Okay. You got to know which mushroom.
There are certain ones. You know, there's like, I don't know the number. Me being in landscaping, I've studied mushrooms a little bit. Usually mushrooms mean there's moist soil.
Okay.
So, you know, if there's a cow patty, there's moist soil because the cow patty leaves the soil.
It almost sounds like you're eating shit. Don't get me wrong. I know turd is fertilizer, but ain't it funny how, because we all do it, something our body rejects, and especially with animals, their turds are a lot bigger, how that turns into fertilizer to grow food that we put back in our mouth.
Yeah, so they're like these mushrooms that have like a certain shape, a certain color. I don't know exactly. I don't remember exactly which ones they were. This is many years ago that they did this, but I knew some fellers that did this shit.
Yeah.
And they liked it. I didn't get into it, but you know, I just kind of was kind of like, I don't know, man.
But what a dumbass. Okay. You got to be pretty skilled to be an airline pilot, and you have a good career, possibly a good pension, you know, a job that's highly in demand. Because guess what? There's a huge time pilot shortage right now. And this guy has literally just ruined his life. He will never fly as a pilot again.
Nope. He ruined his reputation, and very irresponsible on his part.
Yeah, because look, I have been drunk before, you know, and, you know, I've gotten silly before. But even in your inebriation, even as stupid drunk as you are, and thank God I don't do that often. It's been years, matter of fact. I don't remember last time I got pissed drunk. But either way, you still have a sense of control. You still know what's going on, even though if you might be acting silly. So what compelled this guy to try to shut down the engines of a plane mid-flight?
Man, your answers.
There's questions.
These questions are just
questions we don't have answers for.
I don't
have
answers for, man. I really don't.
See, that's what blows me away with my logic. I always try to understand things from logic, but God, and I know I can be the same way too now and then. People are just illogical.
So here are the shapes. Remember I said they have a particular shape, and you see these, and I'm sure you've seen these type.
Okay. No, I actually have not seen a mushroom that looks like that before.
These are the ones you'll see by cow patties or in moist areas. They're usually
and they eat it.
Yeah, you can get them and eat them. I think you can boil them and make a tea.
And get the high effect off of that.
Here's what they look like, a couple of them, a group of them.
Okay.
So they kind of have like a light brown look to them.
More pointy.
Yeah, and they're called...
Because the mushrooms, I think, are the stuff that's in our salad.
Sometimes they'll call them magic mushrooms.
Okay.
And you'll get a little bit of excitement and giggly. You might even get confused, or that's why I said people sometimes are talking to people, confused who they're talking with. You're going to have a overwhelming feeling, a little bit of anxiousness. And now sometimes you can get, you know, the hallucinations or tripping and that, or distortion of sound.
Yeah. Well, does it raise your heart rate or something?
Yes.
Okay. So you just, you know, it just starts to, oh boy.
That's
okay.
What your heart's doing.
Yeah.
And it can last up to about 5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I'm just curious about this because
people can mix mushrooms with other drugs, and the effects can get even worse.
And that's where things will get out of control.
Yes. You really need to know what you're doing if you're going to
pour out
mushrooms.
Yeah, it's kind of like what they say. I know there are some of these popular drinks out there that have caffeine and alcohol on it. And so you know how bad that is for your health. Because
like Four Locos and
I don't even know what a Four Locos is. What's in that?
Oh, okay. So if you go to the White Trash K, you go to the malt liquor section.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see these big, tall, homeless people cans like this.
Uh-huh.
And they're Four Locos. And they have like a good percentage of alcohol, like maybe, I don't know, 10, 12. And they have a lot of sugar. And then they'll have a lot of caffeine.
Wow. So you're even getting the up energy from the sugar
and
on top of caffeine and alcohol. But you see what I'm doing here.
Drank those
you,
before.
You see what you're doing here. You're taking, you know, I'm illustrating here with my hands. You're taking your body and pulling it in two different directions.
Yes.
You know, that would be like starting up your car, anchoring it and hitting the gas and have the tires peel out and everything. You know what that's going to do to your transmission, to your tires, to your frame? That's going to damage things badly.
Yeah, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a lot of young kids that drank them and did a lot of crazy shit, you know.
Yeah.
And they
got to be careful with that crap.
Also, two people drank too many of them, and their heart exploded.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah. You know, like one time I was up in West Virginia for a wedding, and the family introduced me to something called UV bombs, and I liked it. It tasted good because I'm not much of a mixed drink guy. Then they tell me later on it was UV vodka and Red Bull, and I'm like, alcohol and taurine, which is the even more of an accelerant of caffeine. I'm like, that's not good for you.
Yeah, I've done them before. The Red Bull and vodka.
Yeah, it tasted good, but not good. Maybe one. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll do one. But I kept shooting them that night, and luckily, after the third or fourth time, I finally asked, "What's in this?" And then I'm like, "Oh, hold on a second." Even my buddy yelled at me. The one I did hit with, he was like, "Are you fucking stupid? You're drinking caffeine and alcohol at the same time."
Well, I mean, I was having a good time, buddy.
I was, but you know what it is? I didn't need to have that much, but I didn't know. It was just like, here, let's do a UV shot.
You know, we've all been there, too. Yeah. Sometimes you start getting going, you don't realize until you ask, but yeah. They're you know, in moderation. You know, there was a lot of folks that drank those back in the day, and some people still do the vodka and Red Bull. Some people did Monsters and different drinks as well.
Yeah.
But I think all them energy drinks and all that high caffeine drinks are
got to be careful.
You got to be careful with them.
Just because it's legal doesn't mean you should do it. And that's the thing. Now that mushrooms is becoming a legal thing again, you know,
you really got to do your research on the mushrooms too. If you're listening and you want to try them out, I know we have a couple listeners out there, friends that might want to. But
well, I always say if you're not sure or if I can't tell you, go ahead and consult the Google.
Yeah.
You know,
check it out.
Google.
Sure there is a YouTube.
You were Googling right here as we were talking about this. But I'm saying that's how cool the information age is that we can find out something like this now. Because back in the day, be like, well, let's put the show on a pause. Let's go find an encyclopedia. Hopefully it has that article. And even if it does, it's just going to be this very abbreviated version of the bigger attributes of, you know, the thing you're looking up. But
yeah. Well, I mean, it's unfortunate that guy pulled this stunt on the airplane. And
he's done. He's ruined.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm glad no one got hurt.
And I'm glad nobody got hurt. Yeah,
and I'm glad they subdued his ass and got him bolted down to the airplane so they got to the airport and
arrested him.
Yep, and then now it's all said and done and over with. But,
yeah.
I enjoyed doing the show that we did today, the open mic. It was a little bit easygoing, not a lot of stress, and
I was never stressed, but a little less structured.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got a little bit of editing to do in here, but nothing like before.
Yeah. You know? And I'm hope that all our listeners enjoyed a little bit different format today. And we appreciate you listening on a weekly basis. If you do, and pass it on, you know, we like to get the word out.
Yeah. Let us know. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up with the song of the week. No after show today. And since we did just see this man last night, we picked George Thorogood and the Destroyers. It's called Get a Haircut, and it's from his 1993 album, Haircut.
Yep. And you know, that could play true with some younger ones nowadays
today.
They could get a haircut and get a job. So just listen to the lyrics. It might, you know, ring true nowadays.
Yeah, get a haircut, get a real job. So, well, that'll go ahead and wrap up show number 10 of All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. Again, we are on AkibonaRadio.com. You can send us an email at AkibonaRadio@gmail.com. We've already mentioned Facebook. We mentioned X. There are plenty of ways to get a hold of us. So thanks for downloading and listening to the show, and we look forward to your future feedback, comments, suggestions, whatever you got for us. Anything else you got, Pirate?
Enjoy the week, y'all.
Take care.
I was a rebel from the day I left school. Grew my hair long and broke all the rules. I'd sit and listen to my records all day with big ambitions of when I could play. My parents taught me what life was about, so I grew up the type they warned me about. They said my friends were just an unruly mob and I should do Get a haircut and get a real job. Get a haircut and get a real job. Clean your act up and don't be a slob. Get it together like your big brother Five. Why don't you get a haircut and get a real job? I even tried that 9-to-5 scene. I told myself that it was all a bad dream. I found a band and some good songs to play. Now I party all night, I sleep all day. I met this chick, she was my number one fan. She took me home to meet her mommy and dad. They took one look at me and said, oh my God, get a haircut and get a real job. Get a haircut and get a real job. Clean your act up. Get it together like your big brother Bob. Why don't you get a haircut and get a real job? Get a real job. Why don't you get a real job? Get a real job. Why don't you get a real job? Big time with my rock and roll band. The future's brighter now than I'd ever planned. I'm 10 times richer than my big brother Bob. He's got a haircut, he's got a real.